Welcome to St. Philip's Chapel Street. You're listening to an audio podcast of our Sunday Preach. We really hope it encourages you and draws you closer to Jesus. If you want to know more about St. Philip's, you can find us online at stphillips.org.uk or on social media at SP Chapel Street.
Turn to Luke chapter 2, please. Hi, if we've not met, my name's Gareth. It's great to meet you. I'm married to Lizzie. He's looking very hot in a leopard skin shirt, don't you think? Now covered up in a fur coat. Anyway, shirt and coat. There we go. Luke chapter 2, Gareth. Come on, let's focus. Luke chapter 2, we are going through the Gospel of Luke. And last week, I considered with you why we should bother trusting it in the first place. Why should we read scripture with any sense of faith at all? And if you remember, I argued that however anybody comes to scripture, they're always coming from a perspective of faith. Be it, I'm coming to this as somebody who kind of believes in Jesus or definitely believes in Jesus, and I believe that when I read this, I'm going to find out something more about God because God's word is in there for me. Or if you're coming as a modern skeptic might come to it, that's still a perspective of faith. Because if you've already discounted the possibility of anything supernatural happening, then you're coming from that perspective of faith. Does that make sense? So you're coming with a perspective of faith that none of the things that Jesus did could ever have probably happened because I choose not to believe them. I don't believe in the supernatural, therefore the supernatural hasn't happened in the Gospel of Luke. I would also argue that most of your friends and colleagues sit somewhere in between that spectrum or along that spectrum. They probably think, I don't really know. And I'm probably not in a position to make any decision about it. I would argue that that is a position of faith as well. The problem is, it's a position of faith that says, this stuff doesn't really matter and I'll probably get around to it one day. The thing that I feel like the Lord wants to encourage us today is to remember that this stuff does matter because of everything we've just been singing about. Jesus is going to make all things new. That's what the resurrection is all about. And he's looking for a people to join in with him in making all things new. And as followers of Jesus, that's your job and my job, to partner with the Holy Spirit this side of his return. When you read through the Gospels, you realize that there will be a sorting out of people. People who want to live in this new creation and people who don't. And so those who are coming at the scriptures from a position of faith of, well, I don't really know and I'm not really sure and I'm probably not in a position to make a decision and it probably doesn't really matter right now. That's a position of faith in which they come to the scriptures too. So I don't know where you are today in terms of your faith journey. But we read a bit of chapter 1 last week, and we're only going to glance at different aspects of each chapter because we can't do the whole thing, otherwise we'd be here for years and it would be fascinating. But, you know, by the time I'm retiring, if we were still doing the Gospel of Luke, I think we'd all be a bit sick of it. So we're doing one chapter a week. This week we're in chapter 2. The first half of chapter 2 is the continuation of Jesus' origin story, the stuff that we were reading at all the carol services, if you went to one of those a few weeks ago. So we're not going to look at the beginning with the angels and the shepherds. We're going to look right in the middle, a month after Jesus was born. So Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Now, at the beginning of that little passage then, verses 22 to 24, Luke is explaining the Jewish tradition for those people who might have been reading this who weren't necessarily Jewish or had some kind of an idea. But basically, in Leviticus 12 and Numbers 18, after a month, the parents had to take the child to be offered before the Lord, particularly if it was a firstborn child, and that's what those two verses are about. So Mary and Joseph go to the temple with Jesus to fulfill all righteousness, to do the right thing before God. They're trying to honor God with this gift that they've been given. And as they get there, they encounter this guy called Simeon and this amazing woman called Anna. Don't you just love meeting old people who are full of the Holy Spirit? Yeah. Like people who've just been journeying with Jesus for years and years and years, and they kind of shine a little bit with the glory of God. The guy who set up New Wine back in 1989 was a guy called David Pitches. I've actually got my New Wine t-shirt on right now, but it's a bit too cold to wear a t-shirt. So I'm just going to show you that I've got my New Wine t-shirt on, but I'm not showing you the back, which is very cool design. Maybe in the summer you can see it. But David Pitches had been a missionary in Chile, where he'd become a bishop and where he'd seen God do extraordinary things. And he came back to the UK and started to lead a church down south, close to where I grew up, and saw God do amazing things in St. Andrew's Chorley Wood, just as God had been doing in Chile. His church, like I said, was close to where I grew up, and I remember going to ministry team training days at this church. I went to some of their worship services. Matt Redman was their worship leader. We sing some of his songs still. Mike Pilavachi, some of you will know from Soul Survivor, he was their youth leader. The ministry that David Pitches established and the people that he raised up into leadership was absolutely extraordinary. And because I've been involved in New Wine for quite some time, I've gotten to know David a little bit over the years. And the last time he was at the summer festivals 3 or 4 years ago, he was in his late 80s by this point. And we were having a little bit of a chat, and I thought, I might never get the opportunity again to ask this guy who's seen God do so much. Like, David, what would you say to me as a younger leader? What do you wish that you might have known when you were my age, that you could speak into my life? And I was expecting some kind of incredible strategic thought. I was expecting some kind of prophetic word that would set me on a journey for the rest of my life. And do you know what he said? Without a split second's thought, I wish I'd prayed more. Oh, so simple, so straightforward. This man who had seen God do extraordinary things all around the world, the one thing that he wished that he had done with his life more is to pray more, spend more time with Jesus. I felt so challenged. And it's one of the challenges I want to bring to us at the beginning of a new year. Just like Lizzie did last week, inviting us to commit to praying for one person. Can we do that? Can we pray for one person who doesn't yet know Jesus? And just commit to that for a year. Those of us who were here last week and wrote a little name down on your tag, well, I'd ask the question, how's it going? Michelle's doing well. That's good. Got a little wobbly hand over there from Jacob. Some of us, great, pressing in. How wonderful. Some of us, oh yeah, said I'd pray for someone. It's all right. I'm not trying to criticize anybody. I'm trying to call us to something as a church community. To be a community defined by our relationship with God. I want to encourage us in prayer, like last week I was saying, in terms of reading scripture. And think about what it means to be a church that fasts like this amazing woman, Anna. Will we put Jesus as the primary center of gravity around which our worlds revolve in 2023? Will we consider what we do and how we live in the light of his word and his will? Will we become a people of prayer? That's what Simeon and Anna were. And look how God used them. They were people of prayer. They were people who were righteous and devout. And did you notice in verse 37, Anna worshipped night and day, praying and fasting. Like every day? I'd probably not. But I feel a bit challenged by John Wesley, who led the Methodist revival back in the 1700s. He used to fast twice a week. Stopped eating after dinner one night, didn't eat again until dinner the next night. Twice a week. It's just a regular pattern that he got into. And I feel like I'm quite holy because I sometimes fast once a week. Woohoo! How are we at building in these basic disciplines? Now, an invitation for you. We're about a month away from the start of Lent. And I decided a couple of weeks ago that I'm going to do an extended fast at the beginning of Lent. And I'm not encouraging everybody to do this, and some people you can't do this, and that's totally fine. You can fast other things, like maybe giving up Netflix. Yes, I said it. But if you want to journey with me, I will coach you through an extended fast. You'll have to get medical permission and all that kind of stuff, make sure we can do it and be healthy. But if you want to do that with me, a couple of us are already committed to do it, send me an email, we'll start a little group. And some of us, I'm not saying everybody, but some of us are going to take a journey of doing some fasting as Lent begins in a few weeks' time. It gives us some time to prep by telling you now. I'd love to do that with you. But as I look and see people like Simeon and Anna, the challenge I feel from the Lord and the challenge I want to put out to us today is it starts now. You don't become somebody like Anna or Simeon by waiting until you're old and then starting to pray. You become a person like Simeon or Anna by becoming a person of prayer now, by leaning into scripture now, by learning what it means to fast now, so that when I'm Bishop David Pitch's age in my 80s, when I'm old and gray, or all right, older and grayer, thank you. When I get there, people will look at me and say, I'd love to be like that when I'm that age. I'd love to get to the age when I'm close to death, where walking through that curtain of death is just a tiny little step between my sense of God's presence here and my sense of God's presence in glory. That's what John Wesley called dying well. He used to get people to sing a hymn on their deathbed. Don't you love that? You're coughing. All right, well, whilst you're coughing, just sing with me. Just sing with me. Come on. Yep, yep. Remember the song I wrote? Yep, let's sing that one together. Can't think of a John Wesley song right now. That would have been funnier if I could. Getting people to sing so that as they breathe their last breath, they enter into glory and carry on singing a song of praise. How good is that? So becoming a people of prayer, becoming a people of the word, becoming a people who know what it means to fast and lean into God. I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad. Again, I'm trying to call us into all that God might have for us in 2023. Luke describes Simeon. Did you hear those words? Simeon is described as righteous and devout. Now, that could sound quite critical, couldn't it? Oh, he was one of those people, a holier-than-thou kind of person. But that's not what the Greek word devout means. In the Greek, the word devout is being used positively to describe somebody who's built their lives around doing good, around loving others, around seeking to be holy, but not being holier-than-thou, not a hypocrite, but just someone who's chasing after God. Simeon is being described positively, just like I described Bishop David Pitches to you a little earlier. And that's what the Lord wants you to be for the rest of your life. Coming to church is a bit like a weekly bath or a weekly shower where we get to remind ourselves, oh yeah, we're forgiven, we're free, thank you Jesus, good, right. And now we're set up to do what it is God's called us to do in the rest of the week. It's not that I'm a minister of the gospel. It's that we are ministers of the gospel. I just happen to do my ministry in the church. You have your ministry out wherever your work or your study is. And church is about us bringing glory to God for all that he's done during the week. Bringing to God all the challenges and frustrations of the things that he hasn't done and we really wish that he would do something about through prayer. Replacing Jesus back on the throne and saying, Lord, I'm sorry for the places where I haven't honored you in my life this week. I really want to do better this week. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is with me, that you've forgiven me because of the blood of Jesus. I can go from here in confidence, in your power, to carry on living this life that you've called me to live. And so Simeon, trying to live this Holy Spirit-filled life, got a little nudge from the Holy Spirit. It's time to go to the temple, Simeon. And I don't know about you, I just thought, what would have happened if Simeon had gone, oh, it's probably not the Lord? He would have missed out the opportunity to meet Jesus. Jesus was only in the temple for a few moments while Mary and Joseph brought him there, made their sacrifice. Great, hi, wonderful, great, off we go. Simeon receives the nudge of the Holy Spirit, off he goes, and boom, meets Jesus. And as he meets Jesus, is filled with the Holy Spirit to speak a prophetic word over him. And then just as he's finishing this prophetic word, this woman Anna comes along. And by the way, if you're ever wondering about the scriptures in 1 Corinthians, which says about, you know, women to be quiet in church and all that kind of stuff. So Anna is described as a prophet and spoke a prophetic word over Jesus, and it's recorded in Scripture. Maybe it is that those little parts of Scripture were written specifically to those particular contexts for specific reasons. If you're ever wondering, and you're a female, can I speak in God's name in church? How does it all work together? Well, Anna was all right at doing it, and so we're all right with that too. Is that okay? We feel like God can speak confidently through us, whatever gender we might be. And in Simeon's prophetic word, you can hear hints of Scripture. He was a man of the word, and so he was able to speak out prophetically stuff that resonated with Scripture. You see, Scripture tells us that a prophecy is to strengthen or to encourage or to comfort others. To strengthen us, to comfort us, or to encourage us. And sometimes it will be a bit challenging. Did you hear what he said to Mary? Oh yeah, a sword is going to pierce your heart too. Oh, thanks, Simeon, that was lovely. Yeah, I thought you were meant to say nice things. Sometimes it's just to strengthen us for what's going to come. But how do we know whether prophecy is from the Lord or not? Well, there are three little tests that we can use. The Bible encourages us to test prophetic words. And here's some suggestions. The first suggestion I would make is, does this sound consistent with Scripture? Well, what Simeon said to Mary sounded consistent with what she'd been told by an angel and what the prophecies from the Old Testament seemed to say about the Messiah. So is it consistent with Scripture? Yeah, ticks that box. Great. Second question. Is this person someone who is trusted by others prophetically? Well, she perhaps didn't know Simeon, but perhaps some other people were like, yeah, he knows what he's talking about. Oh, okay, great. Do you know this person is a person of prayer, a person of scripture? Do you understand whether God can speak through them? Now, that's not to say that God can't speak prophetically through people who aren't. Sometimes he does, and it's amazing. But it's just one other way of testing. Is this what God is saying to me? Is this person trusted as a prophet? There's a couple of people in our church that if they come and say, I feel like the Lord's saying this, we'll probably give them the microphone because we trust them. Prophetically, right? Because we sense that, or we've seen a track record, they've said something prophetically and God seems to have followed it up well. So second, is this person someone who is trusted by others prophetically? And third, does this resonate with the Holy Spirit in me? I've heard what it is that you say. Does this resonate with me? Not does it make me feel nice? That's not the same thing. Do I feel like God's probably saying something to me through this? And if it meets those three criteria, or perhaps two out of the three of them, then you go, okay, well, I think this is probably a prophetic word from the Lord. I'll probably try and take this on and see what it means in my life. We also have to remember, of course, that Paul, in the book of Acts that we looked at last year, Paul was given a prophetic word, a really significant prophetic word by a guy called Agabus. I think his name is fantastic. Agabus had a prophetic word, and not only a prophetic word, a prophetic picture. You see, Paul was aiming to go to Jerusalem, and Agabus took Paul's belt and he tied it up around his hands. And he says, Paul, if you go to Jerusalem, you will get bound, you'll get arrested and bound up. And Paul goes, yeah, thanks for that prophetic word. I'm going anyway. Now, it might have resonated as something, but that wasn't the Lord saying, don't go. It was the Lord saying, be prepared. So sometimes we have to try and weigh, well, what does this actually mean? Is this a word of direction, or is it a word that's trying to strengthen me because of what is to come? Does that make sense? So, three different ways that we can think about how to discern whether this prophetic word might be from the Lord. But the truth is, God wants to speak to each one of us, and the Lord wants to speak through each one of us. He wants to speak to you, and he wants to speak through you. And it actually doesn't matter how old you are. So I love the fact that kids are back in, because it doesn't matter how old we are. We can listen to the Lord, and often kids are way better at listening to the Lord than us grown-ups.
Thank you for listening. If you want to respond or talk through anything in this preach, please feel free to email hello@stphillips.org.uk, and we would love to help you in any way we can. God bless you.